Welcome back. The test of sincerity. Once again, you're welcome, sir. I would love to ask you, sir, knowing you're a Bible teacher, a pastor, and your own definition of a term, a scriptural term, might be different from an English teacher's definition. How do you define sincerity?
Yeah, from the point of view of our faith, sincerity is the absence of pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy.
The absence of pretense.
Deceit or hypocrisy. Is sincerity. Okay. You will hear statements like the sincerity of his beliefs is unquestionable.
The absence of deceit, pretense, and hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Wow. It also, sincerity conveys honesty. They go together.
Conveys honesty.
Honesty.
Okay. We're talking of rapture.
A sincere person is also a truthful person. So, you see, sincerity, honesty, truthfulness. They are the triplets of a believer.
So when we are talking of sincerity, we should have honesty and truthfulness in mind also.
Because that, the three, you can't separate them.
So a sincere person will be honest.
He will be honest.
And will be truthful.
He will be truthful.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I think it's making more sense to me now.
Yes.
I want to ask you, sir, is it necessary for salvation, or how necessary is sincerity for salvation?
It's necessary because first there is a commandment. What is the first commandment of God? Is that you should love the Lord
with all your heart.
With all your heart.
All your soul, your mind.
Everything, everything in you, you are to love God. The love of God is supposed to consume you.
Yes, sir.
So, you cannot speak of genuine love without sincerity, without honesty, without truthfulness. Yes.
You can't speak of genuine love without sincerity.
And honesty.
Okay. Does God test our sincerity, sir?
Sure.
He does. Okay. How does God test our sincerity?
You know, when he sent Moses to Egypt to bring out Israel, this question you ask is very, very important. How does he do it? They left. But the Bible said they were a mixed multitude.
True.
So, the mixed multitude there, that means there were pretenders there. There were deceivers there. And there were hypocrites there.
Untruthful.
And there were untruthful people and dishonest people. They formed the mixed multitude.
Okay.
It's in their response to the message Moses brought. You have this group of people that follow. So how is he going to do it? So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3. What he said there.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart.
You see? Because sincerity is in the heart. How is he going to prove you? That's your question.
Yes, sir.
To know what is in your heart.
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments.
Whether you will keep it or not.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. That it might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
So you see how he proved them. And how many of them made it? How many of them failed? And almost all the whole generation, apart from maybe about two people in that generation that left Egypt, the rest, you know, you remember the commentary, just coming to my mind, when they went to spy the land, the 12 elders.
Yes, sir. Numbers 13.
Now, there is a commentary concerning Joshua.
Okay. That'll be Numbers 14.
Yes.
Numbers 14:24.
Now, here is really maybe from verse 22.
Okay. Numbers 13, 14 from verse 22.
Yes.
Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit
in
him.
Thank you. That is the statement I'm looking for.
And had followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. And his seed shall possess it.
You see his testimony? That is why in verse 30.
Verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land.
Yes.
Concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun.
So you can see where he said Caleb
had another spirit.
This another spirit is a sincere spirit. You see, it's easy with a priest to just look at Israel and say they were unbelievers. You see, and they were stubborn. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said they did not enter because of unbelief. The truth is not just unbelief there. The content used there is insincerity. It's insincerity. We see a perfect time in the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth from verse 1. Let's read it up to verse 18.
Okay.
If we can, if we have the time to do that.
Ruth from verse 1 to verse 18.
Yes.
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab,
yes.
He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter's in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters in-law with her.
With her two daughters-in-law, that's our emphasis as we go on.
And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah.
Now, watch it from verse 8.
And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law.
Now, this is the test.
Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept.
Amen. Go on, go on.
And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people.
What did they say?
Surely we will return with thee unto thy people.
And
Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons?
Did you hear verse 10 again?
And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people.
In fact, Naomi gave them all the reason for them to leave. The two of them together, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Then the test of sincerity now. Go on.
And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it giveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice.
They lifted up the two of them, but two different spirits, they are two different hearts. And did what?
And they lifted up their voice and wept again.
And the two of them began to weep again. But when one of them considered that he has said they can go, she has said they can go. Read the next statement.
And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
And what does Ruth say?
And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people.
Yes.
And unto her gods.
Uh-huh.
Return thou after thy sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee.
You see?
Mm.
You see? And we all know the rest of the story.
Hallelujah.
And we know how Ruth ended up.
Mm.
And how that now Orpah was never had again. That was a test of sincerity.
Mm.
Of their proclamation. Of their confession.
Mm.
Ah, we love you. Ah, we'll go with you. Ah, we love you. Ah, we'll go with you.
Mm.
And then the moment of test of that sincerity came. We saw who Orpah is and who
Ruth is.
And these are type of two Christians.
Hey.
Two groups of Christians.
Mm.
You see? Now, the test of sincerity. Test of sincerity. We all know, because of time, we don't have to be reading every scripture, but we all can make reference to the stories.
Mm.
We know the story of Lot.
Yes, sir.
Lot had the opportunity to escape with his family.
Mm.
Now, Lot believed what the angel said.
Mm.
The wife, supposedly also, was supposed to have believed it and was following them out, but she was not sincere.
Mm.
And you saw how she ended up.
Yes, sir.
Her end is the evidence that she was not sincere.
Mm.
Now, where are you people going? You saw the two of them, the family moving out.
Yes,
you asked Lot and his wife, like Orpah and Ruth, where are you people going? This is our decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. And you see where they all ended up.
Mm.
You see the sincerity of Lot and the sincerity of the wife was tested. Now, can God test the believer? He was the one that told them, don't look back. That don't look back is the test.
Mm. So the commandment of God serves as the test?
It is the test.
Mm.
You know, he tests us in various ways.
Okay.
One of them is what Apostle Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 6.
1 Peter 1 from verse 6.
Yes.
Okay. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season,
what happened?
If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Now, God uses trials and temptation. He allows it.
Mm.
He allows it for a purpose.
That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
You see? Mm. So our faith can also be tried.
Mm.
It's important. And he can test this trial also through hunger.
Mm.
Now, for ministers, for instance, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. How many people who claim that God has called them will pick up their cross, truly identify with the suffering and the shame that is associated with the cross of Jesus?
Mm.
So when you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, you see the commentary of Demas.
For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica.
And we know that the god of this world is money. The love of money.
Hmm.
I think let's read the first Timothy chapter 6.
Hmm.
From verse 10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Uh-huh.
Which were some coveted after.
Have done what?
They have erred from the faith.
They have erred from the faith.
And pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
That was the position of Demas. Apostle Paul just ran by saying that he loved this present world. That is, he loved what he will gain here. That is the gospel of prosperity.
Mm.
And many so-called preachers today have gone off their call and gone in pursuit of worldly acquisitions. And then that is what a perfect type we see in Demas. You say, can God test your faith?
Yes, sir.
God tested the faith of Abraham.
Hmm.
After waiting for how many years after marrying Sarah, yeah, he got the child of promise, Isaac. And if you watch the way God put it, that should take thine son, thine only son. Oh, glory be to God. Thine son, thine only son.
Genesis 22.
Please.
And verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son.
From verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things,
yes,
that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest,
uh-huh,
and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of.
So you see, that's it. Not just that. Remember how many days journey took?
3 days.
Now, why 3 days journey? Why didn't he just go somewhere there and just say, offer that sacrifice? He gave him time to test his sincerity of his walk with God.
Mm.
Did he pass?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he passed.
Mm.
That is a test of sincerity.
Mm.
What of Jephthah?
Mm.
He offered his child.
Yes, sir.
If you will let me win this battle against the Amorites.
Mm.
Is it the middle of Amorites?
Yes, sir.
He said, the first thing that will come out of my house when I'm coming back from this victory, I will offer it to you for a burnt offering.
Mm.
That is, we kill it, make barbecue, put the fire, kill it.
Mm.
He said, I will offer it to you. Let me see how sincere you are.
Mm.
Let me see how truthful you are. Let me see how honest you are. The test. God gave him the victory.
Mm.
You see? And many people are given all manner of interpretations to what happened. Did he not? He did, though. That is the truth. He did. You see? There's one very interesting test of his sincerity of Abraham. Remember that it was Sarah that gave the advice, offered her maid to Abraham.
That's right.
So that they can have a child. Because her womb was closed. As soon as the maid
conceived,
she was not despising, she has become the madam. And of course, the woman Sarah began to show her, the madam of this house, you remain my slave.
Amen.
And drove her away.
Mm.
Now, Abraham, naturally, he has already fallen in love with her. You are carrying my child, a much awaited child.
Mm.
And while he was considering it, you know, God spoke to him. That is the test of sincerity.
Mm.
You went into her at the word of Sarah.
Hey.
Did you go into her in obedience to Sarah because you love Sarah? Or you were already eyeing again? Test of sincerity.
Amen.
So he said, obey her. Now, was it not how you obeyed and went into her? Now also obey her and send her away.
Mm.
That is a test of sincerity.
Wow.
And because I'm still answering your question.
Yes, sir.
This test of sincerity, whatever examples, I still have more to give you.
Please, sir, go ahead.
They are tests by God himself. Take Deuteronomy 13 as for instance.
Okay.
Take Deuteronomy 13 from verse 1, maybe the first 5 verses there.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder,
uh-huh,
and the sign or the wonder come to pass,
uh-huh,
whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known,
uh-huh,
and let us serve them.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord your God proveth
you. See the reason. What is the reason?
Proveth you,
uh-huh,
to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. And
so how is he testing their sincerity?
Through a false prophet.
Through a false prophet. He gives the revelation, it come to pass. So there are many people that are supposedly following Christ.
Hmm.
And the only reason that they are in that ministry is because of that gift, not because of the word.
Mm.
They are after the gift. They are after, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
They are after the anointing.
Hmm.
No matter what else any man they are preaching, the attention is not in what he's preaching, but in what he's doing.
That's right.
It's a test of sincerity. And those two groups are in the church. But there is a group also that no matter what you, if you like, call heaven, call fire to fall, and they will say, they will praise God for it. They are still listening to what you are saying.
Hmm.
Sincerity.
Amen.
And that is, you know, exactly what you saw the Lord Jesus Christ was, I think in John chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
From verse 26.
Okay. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me.
Not they were, remember that the previous day, he had used abracadabra, five loaves of bread, miracle.
Yes, sir.
Fed 5,000.
Mm.
Now see the test.
Mm.
When he finished, he disappeared from there.
Mm.
And they came. They were looking for him. They were looking for him. They were looking for him. What happened?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did it of the loaves and were filled.
You see, the reason that you are looking for Christ is not because of the miracle, because the miracle you saw will have made you ask like the disciple, what manner of man is this? The miracle was only a sign for you to begin to look for who is this man.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you come close, you will hear what he's saying. And to prove it, you know, he began to now tell them who he is.
Mm-hmm.
No more miracles, but let's get to the depth of my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you
have no life
in you. And when he began to speak so, verse 66 of John chapter 6.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
The test of sincerity.
Mm.
You see? Now, see, I told you there are always two groups. Now he faced those who remained. Verse 67.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?
Will you also go away?
Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Because he was looking for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
The test, you see, of sincerity. Now, if you go to Ephesians, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
Verse 18 and verse 19.
For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
That there are, so God uses heresies to test your sincerity. He uses heresies. Apostle Paul called it wind of doctrine. Everything that says they will follow. Anyone that calls, they will follow. Test of sincerity. In the wilderness journey, that test on the children of Israel, they had many tests, including hunger. It also included, you know, heresies, actions that will take you away. You thought you identify Moses. You say you identify Moses by all vindication that God sent him. You saw the pillar of fire, not photograph, live.
Amen.
They saw the pillar of cloud, not photograph, live.
Amen.
It moved with them throughout the wilderness journey, not one time event.
That's right.
It moved. It was there throughout.
Mm.
And yet, Theta, Korah, Abiram rose, and he still could take you away from Moses. So you are not following him honestly. You are not following him sincerely. You are not following him truthfully. And the test had to come. You see?
Wow.
God himself can test your sincerity.
So what you are saying is that every point in time, God tests his followers.
Every point in time, God will test your sincerity. And allow me to say, give you more examples.
Please, sir, go ahead.
Before you stop me, because people don't understand this test of sincerity. You know, three Hebrew children. We will not bow to any image. We will not. Let's see how far. Mm. Let's prove how sincere you are in this worship of this your God of Israel. They say you will not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. The three Hebrew children refused. They were actually caught, brought before the king. They were given opportunity to renounce their faith. Test of sincerity. What did they say? We know our God will save, but even if he doesn't save us. Anytime I read that scripture, I say, yeah. Job was the one that said, even if he slays me, I will yet trust him. Hmm. And in all the trial that the Job went through, he did not curse God.
Hmm.
He didn't. So, what Job went through was a test of his sincerity.
Hmm.
What Job went through was a test of his sincerity in serving God. The first one, all the children died. His wealth, one day, he still said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give it, the Lord take it. Are you sure? Oh yeah, sickness now upon you.
Hey.
You can imagine how horrible that sickness would be when Satan is the one explaining you, not his agent too. Then the wife now came to add the pressure, cause and die.
Mm.
Then his three miserable comforters came again. And then his thoughts again from inside, doubting spirit coming again to, you know, it was all the test of his sincerity.
Mm.
You see? And in this restoration move that we're talking about, see. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
In this restoration move, remember that when the seed, the three measures of meal, that is the three works of grace, the doctrines were corrupted.
Yes, sir.
As we see in Matthew 13, verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time which fulfilled the third seal of Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6. And it produced the midnight cry of Matthew 25, verse 6.
Yes, sir.
Which is the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
Yes, sir.
The Lord himself will descend with a shout.
Mm.
The restoration began. The revival began.
Mm.
Because in verse 6 there, he said, hot not
the oil and the wine.
That is talking about the revival that will succeed. You know, the dark ages, which began with the blade that we see in Mark chapter 4 of verse 26.
Yes, sir.
The blade that shot out of that darkness was the message of Luther, the three works of grace being restored. Now, see the test of sincerity.
Mm.
When that revival came, everybody, hey, Luther, Abby. Let me test this, how sincere you are, whether it is actually truth you are following.
Hmm.
Then he now added another doctrine.
Hmm.
It was actually further revelation. And further revelation is only for those who are sincere, honest, and truthful.
Hmm.
Those who are looking for perfection.
Wow.
Those who have an obedient heart. Who will be ready to move with God.
Mm.
The footstep of the righteous is ordered by God.
Amen.
Those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Mm.
Now, here is the test. Will you now add sanctification to
justification?
And that was the test of sincerity.
Mm.
Is God not able to just come at once and restore everything? Oh, no. Yeah. Because he knows there will always be insincere people, dishonest people, untruthful people, hypocrites, deceitful workers that turn the grace of God to lasciviousness. Holding this grace of God and turning it to disgrace, they will always be there. Who have to go beyond nothing, they have no ability to look beyond today and expect God to move with them. It was that same test of sincerity that in the wilderness journey, you will see the pillar of fire by day, by night, and the cloud by day. It was the presence of God. And you are to remain where he puts you. The journey is going to go from Egypt to the promised land. How long? None of you know it. None of you knows the distance. But my Lord knows the way. The way, none of you knows it. My God knows the way through the wilderness. So his angel was there to guide you. And then, if you notice, they lived like pilgrims and strangers. Hebrew chapter
11.
Chapter 11. Let's read it. This is very, very important, a man of God. You know, this topic you chose is exciting to me because it answers a lot of questions that are troubling all of us. Now, from verse 8.
Hebrews 11 from verse 8.
Yes.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Now go to verse 13.
This all died in faith, not having received
the promises, yes.
But having seen them afar off.
By what? By revelation. By revelation, they saw it, yes.
And were persuaded of them.
They were persuaded, they believed it.
And embraced them.
Yes.
And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
See now. They confessed that they were what?
Strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
So what kind of life would they live? Let's read on.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
To return.
But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
Now, so you see now, they lived like strangers and pilgrims. When you are sure that this is not your final place, your permanent address is somewhere else. Well, if you are going to stay here, just like you are building your house, your personal house. Now you are renting an apartment. The way you live in a rented apartment, you live in a way that you know that the landlord can come tomorrow and say leave. So your lifestyle, you know, will be different. You will not be putting up structures there, because you know it does not belong to you. The life of a pilgrim.
Amen.
Your heart is in your permanent address. So the test of sincerity is reflected when you have a revelation. It is reflected. It gives you, you know, you say, if they had been mindful. Where your treasure is, that is where your mind
has to be.
And the estate of your heart reflects where your mind is. You see, this is very important.
Wow.
So, here we are. We are Lutherans. And you did not make room for further revelation. Remember that Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God.
That is the verse 17, right?
Yes, sir.
That for therein in that gospel
is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Is the righteousness of God is revealed from
faith to faith,
revelation to revelation.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by revelation. Without revelation, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, without revelation, it is impossible to please Him. To please Him. So here you are, you know, Proverbs 4, verse 18.
The path of the just.
The path of the just
is as the light, the shining light. Is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
It will shine more and more, brighter and brighter. Till when?
To the perfect day.
The light began to shine as that blade came up. But there are other things you need to know concerning the total gospel that was covered up. Therefore, test of sincerity. Is it God leading you to follow Luther or
politics?
It is politics because it was the Germans versus the Romans. And that's why it was the king of Germany that defended
Luther.
So that the Roman church will not kill him by declaring him a heretic. Of course, it is in fulfillment of the prophecy. Hot not
the oil,
and the wine. So you can see that when the next stage was to be shown, God raised another man. How many Lutherans saw the truth? If it is truth that made you to follow Luther, if you see truth again, you will identify it.
Amen.
For the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, it's the spirit of truth. It's the spirit of truth. You see, you are either in truth or you are in error. In fact, some are neither in truth nor in error because they don't even have stand. So Olumide, I want you to note something here. That God is the one playing this game. And He knows how to open everybody's eyes to see who you are. Sorry for our international viewers. I use our Nigerian slang. Nyash is your nakedness. You know, to show your nakedness, so to say. You know, to see that, to place you where you belong. You know, while He moves on with His own. And you notice that this is why many could not make the promised land. And many Christians will fulfill. Many are called, but few are chosen because of insincerity.
Wow.
So we see it in the restoration move. You see, the you say you believe Luther. You believe Luther. If you believe Luther, Luther came. There is a deep collect, there is a deep to respond.
Certainly.
If it is truth. If you have the spirit of truth, anywhere you hear truth, you will identify with it. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
I wish that can be a fine nugget I can put together. If it is truth that brought you to Christ, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are looking for a way to go to heaven to serve the living God. And you found Christ to be the way. You found Christ to be the truth. That truth, anywhere it is spoken, you will identify with it. You see? Paul.
Yes, sir.
Apostle Paul. Saul. See all. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Before I even come to. Okay, what did Paul say? Paul. For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What did he do with all his qualifications that he had
count it as dung.
He counted all the theological certificates that he had. He counted it as what?
Dung.
As dung for something.
That he may win Christ.
That he may win Christ because he found the truth.
Mm.
When he found the truth, he abandoned all errors that he was in. That is the test of sincerity. Were you actually serving the God of Israel as the God of Israel by revelation? Because Jesus Christ said, search the scripture now.
Amen.
For they are there that testify of me. But for because of their insincerity, the Pharisees and Sadducees, you saw what? They could not ask. They were reading it, but the fulfillment, they were not sincere enough to see. And one thing about insincere people is that they know it is the truth.
Mm.
They know it is the truth. But that dishonest heart that they have rejected it. Because accepting it will cost them something.
Mm.
That is where you see the insincerity.
Mm.
And so we see a perfect example in verse 44, Matthew 13.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid it, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
What did he do? He sold
all that he had to buy that field.
Selling all you have, just to have one particular thing. And we know, then verse 45.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Who
and we know that was Luther. Luther was sincere. He was serving God the Catholic way. That's all he knew. But when he saw truth, he responded. Sincerity. Sincerity. You see? Now, the next one was actually Wesley.
Yes, sir. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man.
That means he was already in the gospel. He was already a preacher. He was already an evangelist. Evangelist. So he was himself a Lutheran. Okay.
Seeking goodly pearls.
Who,
when he had found one pearl of great price.
Now, price there is the cost. And that cost, what did he find?
One
without
pearl
without the holiness,
no man can please
God. No man can see God. Holiness is a forsaking every ungodliness, every worldly attachment. It will cost you something. What did he do?
Went and sold all that he had and bought it.
He sold all the doctrines he had before and bought it. You know, we have this group of people that call us when they come across us. They are in the denomination. Denominational pastors who are employed by their denominational masters, working for them and sending money to the headquarters and receiving salaries, working very hard to meet the target set for them, not target of winning souls, but target of the amount of money they must collect and send to the headquarters. When they come across our ministry and hear what we are saying, hearing what I am saying is a test of your sincerity.
That's right.
Then you hear them say, so, Pastor, what should I do? Now, what comes to my mind is, what do you mean, what should you do? Remain there. And some of them are thinking that I will tell them, come and join me. I'm telling you, you know, I've had the Jubilee song, Exodus 21.
Amen and amen.
God does not ordain us to be enslaved under any master. From verse 1, what did he say of that?
Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them.
Listen very well.
If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife and shall bear him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters.
Again, though, see the cost, though. There will be a cost, though, for that decision, though. If it is your denomination that gave you accommodation, that gave you a official car, that gave you whatever it is, so that then get ammo.
That's right.
That building, you use their name to build that that place, that them get ammo.
That's right.
When the jubilee sound, you've heard the message, come out of her, my people. You heard it. Test of sincerity. Let's see how sincere you will be. What did he say?
If his master have given him a wife.
Even if na wife, the wife when you marry, now then give you.
And she have born him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters.
Okay, give it to them. Anything you gained there. Anything that you gained there, leave it for them. Test of sincerity.
And he shall go out by himself.
And then you leave.
And if the servant
because
shall...
Because as you enter, that's where you go come out.
And if the servant
stop shall... saying that they must settle you. Stop making, try to scatter the fellowship that they never settle you.
Don't go with their property.
Don't go with their property. That will be stealing. Yes, now, don't belong to you. You've heard the jubilee sound.
Amen.
And you have responded to the original life. Yes?
If the servant shall plainly say...
But... You who are dilly-dally, go ahead.
I love my master.
I love my master.
My wife and my children.
Test of insincerity like upper.
I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges.
He said, I will not go. I want to remain with you. I will serve you. I will serve you for the rest of my life. That is now the spirit of delusion now. God will not give you a delusion. See how it will happen?
He shall also bring him to the door and or onto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
And you will hang hang a ring in his ear. That is why a ring is strange in Israel. It is a symbol of a slave that refused
freedom.
And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read it, please. Remember the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Yes.
Verse 7.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Yes.
Only he will now let it be let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yes.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Listen very well.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Yes.
Because they received not the love of
because
the truth.
Because they received not the love of truth. Insincere people.
That they might be saved.
Yes.
And for this cause.
For God, this reason.
God shall send them strong delusion.
A delusion to do what?
That they should believe a lie.
To make them believe a lie. So that what?
That they all might be damned. Who believe not the truth.
But
add pleasure in unrighteousness.
Remember that the Bible says in the latter time. They will not endure sound doctrine.
Yes,
they shall heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. You see. Ahab was not sincere. 400 prophets. He was not sincere. He should have known that the judgment is hanging over his head. And then you are gathering 400 prophets to see road for you. Do you need 400 for God to talk to you? He was not sincere. He knew something was wrong. He gathered why do you need 400 prophets? You need just one prophet because it's the same voice of God. And you can't... God will have to make you believe a lie because you are insincere. It gives you that spirit of delusion.
Wow.
To make you believe it. So that in believing that lie, like Ahab believed the lies, the 400 prophets were speaking and they ended up, you know, having the prophecy hanging over his head fulfilled. He died. Test of
insincerity.
The test of sincerity. One of the things that made the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you know, not to accept the truth even before them. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 5, verse 44, a statement he made there.
How can ye believe?
Yes.
Which receive honor one from one of another?
Again.
How can ye believe? Which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
How can you believe? You see, the test of their sincerity. You see them gather and you see the honor they give themselves. You see how they gather to make themselves bishops. Mm-hmm. You see what qualifies them. You know, they promote themselves bishop. The honor that comes from men, not from God. You see the archbishop. You see the promotion, they promote themselves. And they like to be recognized, like Matthew 23 says. Reverend, rabbi, this. They like rabbi. The titles. Rabbi. Verse 45.
Do not think that we accuse you to the Father.
Uh-huh.
There is one that accused you.
Who is it?
Even Moses, uh-huh. In whom ye trust.
You say you trust Moses. Abi, verse 4. Go on. Verse
for 40. Had ye believed Moses.
If you had believed Moses, test of sincerity now. You are carrying the books of Moses.
Uh-huh. Ye would have believed me.
If you had believed Moses,
ye would have believed
you. You would have also believed me.
For he wrote of me.
Glory be to God. The test of sincerity.
For if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
How will you believe his words? Because it's not truth you were following. If you were following truth, you would have been like Peter. This is that which was spoken by the prophets. Joel. It was fulfilling. And they were saying it because they were identifying with the truth. The test of sincerity. Are you looking for God or are you looking for position?
Wow.
And then you are saying you enter into the ministry. Is he hungry? You are looking for food to eat. Or you really have a genuine call. There's a passion for lost souls. When you don't have members coming to your church, what is the reason you are feeling frustrated? Is it because of the stream of income that will not or the souls that you are no more getting? You see? And those of you who say, this is my pastor, this is my pastor, this is my prophet, William Branham is my prophet. William Branham, were you looking for truth or you were looking for an idol? You see? You are looking for an idol. If not, you will follow the man as he follow Christ.
Hey.
You see how sincere Paul was. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That is, he's sincere enough to tell you, follow me only as I am following Christ. That is, the day you see me go off, you better follow Christ. See sincerity here. In John chapter 1, correct? Yes. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 35 and
again,
verse 37.
The next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God.
What did he say? He told his disciples. What did he say?
Behold the Lamb of God.
He was pointing to Jesus.
And the two disciples heard him speak.
Understood. They didn't just hear with the hearing of ear. They understood what he was saying. What happened?
And they followed Jesus.
Then they followed Jesus. Because if they did not understand, he would have just been looking at a fellow minister. Let me say, see another minister here like me.
Wow.
As I'm baptized, he too is baptized.
Mm.
But they understood what their messenger of their day was saying.
Amen and amen.
His message was to point them to Christ.
Mm.
Those people stopped talking about John the Baptist.
And followed Jesus.
It's very important.
Hallelujah.
Test of sincerity. What is your filter? What do you use to filter what you hear? It's also a test. Because there must be something to test it. And the greatest filter of what you hear is sincerity.
The greatest filter of what you hear.
Of what you hear is sincerity.
Okay. So let's take a little break on these notes. I want to come back. You tell us what you mean by the statement you just made. We'll take a short break to digest and to check how sincere we ourselves are watching Rapture Watch. We'll be right back.